Whoever you are, wherever you come from, whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm so delighted to welcome you this morning to our annual Music Sunday. And I welcome you on behalf of all of the many musicians who have helped prepare for this service this morning and people who have contributed in many other ways as well, especially our music director, Hal Walker, the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent Choir, the Celtic Clan, and many musical members and friends of the congregation.
Creativity is not like a freight train going down the tracks. It's something that has to be caressed and treated with a great deal of respect. You've got to program your brain not to think too much. Being a part of a liberal religious community is not like a freight train going down the tracks. It's something that has to be caressed and treated with a great deal of respect, too. You've got to program your brain not to think too much.
For the last few weeks in this church, we've been exploring the subject of creativity. Interestingly, during that same time, I've been experiencing a locked jaw. I won't go into all the details, but I'll let you know that I've learned about a very important part of my body. It's called a temporomandibular joint. You may have never heard of it, but I'm certain that you have one. In this month of creativity, take a moment now to celebrate the free movement of your TM joint. Let's try it together. If you're comfortable, close your eyes, put your hands lovingly on the side of your face, and be creative with the movement of your jaw. For 4 weeks with painful chewing and limited opening, my jaw has been out of place, hanging there like a foreign object. My teeth couldn't quite figure out how they fit together. My favorite activities of singing and playing the harmonica have been a painful challenge. Normally, I'm a pretty creative guy. I write songs, I make up games, I invent musical instruments. But for the last 4 weeks, all my creative resources have gone into basic survival. How will I survive this reality? How can I approach this physical challenge when I don't even know when it's going to be over? It was time to get creative. The pain of chewing had become intolerable, so I quickly schooled myself in the art of blended foods, otherwise known as baby food for adults. Thanks to this pain in my jaw, I can now make the best blended lentil soup this side of the Cuyahoga. Also, I've developed my own original smoothie, a hot, blended oat groat smoothie with figs. You cook the oat groats in one pan and boil up some dried figs, dried cherries, half a banana, and walnuts in the other. Blend them together with some almond milk and a squirt of flaxseed oil, and you've got yourself a warm oat groat smoothie that will stick to your bones. Each Tuesday this winter, I've been teaching music in Cleveland's Near West Side at a little Catholic school called St. Rocco. With this painful jaw situation, you can imagine the challenge of teaching the harmonica to a class of 50 second through fourth graders. It was time to get creative. Last Tuesday, in desperation, I took a vow of silence. I decided that I would teach all my classes in total silence. In order to communicate with the students, I created a PowerPoint presentation. The first slide said, "Good morning, boys and girls." The children went on to read the slides aloud together. "Today, it's very important that I rest my voice." Next slide. "Therefore, today I've taken a vow of silence. It will not be easy to teach you without speaking, but I'm up to the challenge. I think of it like a cool game or a one-of-a-kind adventure. I will teach you with this screen and my hand gestures. You will have to be very attentive. You will have to watch very closely for directions. You know the rules." The slides went on, and we proceeded with a wonderful lesson, the children intrigued by the mystery of the situation. I knew that I wouldn't be able to handle this on my own, so it was time to get creative. I called on people that I trust, and I asked for help. In one instance, I called a member of our congregation, Mike Havancik, asking him to help me with the music at last Sunday's service. With Mike in charge, I would have the freedom to sit back and just experience the vibrations. Thanks to Mike, last Sunday I had a profound musical experience. I sat in front of a large gong, striking it over and over again with a big mallet. For just a moment, I was relieved of my body and my mind, and I was brought into the music. For that rare moment, I experienced the healing vibrations of sound. Fortunately, in the last few days, my jaw has unlocked quite a bit. Under the care of a professional, a very expensive professional, I might add, I'm confident that things are just going to keep getting better. In this life, there are a few things that we can count on. Many good things will happen. As a matter of fact, at this moment, good things are happening all around us. But also, I guarantee, great challenges will appear. Sometimes these challenges will be accompanied by very uncomfortable feelings in the body. Sometimes life will not be easy. But remember this, there's music inside of you. There's music inside each of us, and there are many ways to let that music out. This music shows itself in many forms, in the choices that we make, in the way that we care for ourselves and others, in the way we approach this mystery called life. The song says, just keep going on, just keep going on, just keep going on and on, just keep going on. Take every knock as a boost and every stumbling block as a stepping stone. Lift up your head, hold your own, and just keep going on. Remember, you've got the light of love inside of you. Shine that light. The whole world now awaits you. So go on your way in peace.
Blessed Spirit of Life, you are so much mystery. A thousand questions press upon us. What? Why? How come? How long? So often, there simply aren't any good answers. So often, we do not know, will not know, cannot know. Blessed Spirit of Life, you are so much mystery. But even when we can't puzzle out an answer, sometimes if our defenses are not too high, if the walls we have constructed around our hearts are not too thick, are not too steep, sometimes we can feel our way through. We can feel our way through the experiences we can't make sense of. And so we pray this morning that we have the courage to open our hearts, not only to beauty, not only to wonder and blessings, but also to the challenging moments that don't make sense. May we be open, awake, alive to all that has been given us. And in that openness, may we know that in the midst of mystery, there is so much blessing. Let us lift our hearts in gratitude. Amen.
There is a vitality, a life force, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, it will never exist through any other medium and will be lost. The world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, how valuable it is, nor how it compares to other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open. You do not even have to believe in yourself or your work. You have to keep open and aware directly to the urges that motivate you. Keep the channel open. No artist is pleased. There is no satisfaction whatever at any time. There is only a strange divine dissatisfaction, a blessed unrest that keeps us marching and makes us more alive than the others.
These words are from Eric Stetson, who's a friend of mine and a music director in California and a member of the Unitarian Universalist Musicians Network. If I'm being honest, fear motivates my creativity perhaps as much as anything else. The fear of being forgotten when I'm gone, of not leaving a legacy, that's always been in the back of my mind. If just one person can remember just one thing I made, maybe hum one tune, then I can live forever. I draw from this in the most primal of instincts when I write. When I'm creating something in full throttle, I feel more like an antenna than an artist. Channeling is where the song is born. Artistry comes later when it needs to sound like something.
If I had to describe what I feel during the peak of any creative experience, I might use the words complete and whole. Not because I'm doing something I enjoy, but because I'm being something that is sacred. I sense an energy that is outside of myself, firing up my neurons and coursing through my veins as a vessel of the universe. I don't believe in one creator. We are all creators. And this is an endless creation. We all create our own reality, and in doing so, we express our creative being in everything that we do. To be creative, then, is to channel the collective consciousness and express it in one's own terms, reinterpreted through one's experiences and voice. But it's something that is ultimately universal and sacred. The song I'm about to sing that has been passed on to me is a song about Grandmother Spider, and the spider is often associated with creativity in many traditions.
Pablo Picasso said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is staying an artist when you grow up." Vincent van Gogh said, "If you hear a voice within you say, 'You cannot paint,' then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced." Albert Einstein said, "Creativity is contagious. Pass it on." This was contributed by a friend of the church, Deborah Lynn Hook. My work as a writer and a photographer demands that I constantly analyze the medium and the message. What am I trying to say, and to whom am I trying to say it? Is this photograph too dark? That one too much contrast? Who's my audience? What's my deadline? Does my editor even like me? Ironically, it's when I stop thinking that I feel the most creative. As a person who lives in her head, let me just say that this doesn't come naturally. But when I make the decision, when I consciously decide to attach to nothing, when I sit at my computer and just type my feelings without dissecting every word, or when I wander through the woods with my camera without wondering who's going to like my photo on Facebook, that's when I feel most creative. You've probably heard it said before, maybe even said it yourself. There was something else guiding me at my pen that day. In these moments, I'm fully aware of what I'm doing. But these creative experiences are beyond me. Call it God. Call it mystical union. Call it what you will. But when I am immersed in this joy of creation, these disparate, conflicted parts of me find the space to coexist. I'm euphoric, and I'm calm. I'm humbled, and I'm in awe. I'm whole, connected, stripped clean, and yet pulled together and awake. It's as if my consciousness has come into my presence with my subconsciousness. This sensorial experience of creativity sometimes happens in the beginning stages of a creation, but it more often happens in the editing, when the pressure is off and all that's left now is the fairy dust. This joy of creating most often emanates when I connect with the heart, not with the dials on my camera or the clock above my head saying deadline, not with that nagging, ever-present feeling that somebody somewhere is going to be offended by, or worse, will negatively critique my creation. The essence of creativity reverberates for me when I release myself from all this and from myself. The joy of creating for me comes in the free form, not the rigidly chosen, when the river of words is undammed with little concern for time or message, when the dance of images emerges with no thought of perfection. This is when I feel most alive to the art.